Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the night. Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold, I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is out of breath. G'day, listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. It's a super Saturday up there at Eagle Farm in Brisbane. We've got the delayed Queensland Derby and Kingsford Smith Cup, and also the Queensland Oaks in its usual spot. So massive racing there. We've got Flemington, which we love. There's racing at Randwick, and hopefully Bot might have something out wide as well. Speaking of Bot, Will, how are you, mate?
I'm well. Yeah, I'm good. I don't even know that there was the Derby and the Oaks on the same day. I wonder if that's ever happened before. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. I don't think it would have happened much. Obviously, last week was meant to be the Derby. Got rained out. They ran the Fred Best on the Wednesday, and they're running the Derby 7 days later. So, yeah, very interesting. Bell to Tell, the filly for Chris Waller, is going to, sticking with the Derby, was always going to go to the Derby, but there was some thought that after she got scratched, they might have jumped ship. But no, that's not the case. It is just myself and Will right now. Nico has had a dinner or something, whatever it was, and I just can't start any later because I'm on a tight schedule.
You saw Winks and So You Think today and the rest of them?
Yes. I'm coming to you live from Scone, which is pretty much racing country, the racing capital of country New South Wales. Got to go out to Coolmore earlier today, so we saw Winks, we saw Adelaide, and we saw, obviously, So You Think as well. What a stallion he's been. And then we got to see El Segundo. He's the last retired Cox Plate winning gelding that's still alive. So that was pretty cool.
Really?
Yep. And it's so interesting because obviously you've got the stud. So you've got the two stallions, and you've got Winx, who's now a brood mare with three of her own. And then El Segundo, he's just sitting in a paddock.
When did he win it, like 2008 or something?
2007, and he ran second in 2006, beating a nose by
Fields of Omar.
And he's actually a nanny. Well, that's what they call it. Usually it's probably mares who do it, but he looks after all the weanlings and pretty much shows them the ropes. But it was crazy when they released him into the paddock. They all just followed him. They all just followed him, and he was just the boss.
Yeah, right.
So it was pretty, pretty cool. Pretty cool. Yeah, no, so it's been a massive day. I'm very tired. I've had a couple Kookaburra kahunas and I'm just about ready for bed.
What are you doing for the rest of the week?
We've got one more tomorrow. So we've got Dali tomorrow morning, which is Godolphin Animo.
Is that, are you going to see Animo?
Yeah.
Oh, so, that's cool.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting.
Gay out there? Or is he up in the Northern Hemisphere?
Well, right now, a lot of them are shuttling back and forth, so they won't come back to Melbourne, sorry, back to New South Wales until probably August. State of Rest is another one for Newgate, who's over in Ireland still. He'll be coming back.
What about
back.
Home Affairs? Was he?
We saw Home Affairs. Saw Home Affairs at Cornwall today. Saw Shinzo, Switzerland, Best of Bordeaux, like all those other
Colts.
And Costa Delago, I think he was, he's still alive, but he's obviously not on the roster anymore.
Really? How would he be, like 30s?
Yeah, something like that.
He hasn't had 1993, so he's 32.
Yeah.
There you go.
Didn't get to see him. I think he was way out the back, but yeah, no, it's a pretty cool day. And to be up and close, like, we got to see Winx and have a pat with her. Didn't think we'd be able to do that.
Sorry, did you say in Costa Del Lago?
Was it?
He died in 2018.
It's another one then. Very old. He would have been late 20s, but he's off the roster now.
Something Del Lago. There's a couple of them.
Yeah, maybe I must have messed that up. But there was another one at Cornwall who was hanging out the back there. Quickly, news. Pride of Jenny, is she retired or is she not? We found out she's going to be served by Vinny, but I don't think she is retired. I think I jumped the gun there.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't put it past Tony.
Yeah.
She could be about to pop and probably racing still. I wouldn't put it past that bloke. Anyway, I'll reserve my... I don't know. If she's pregnant, I don't want to see her racing. I don't know. That seems... I mean,
what's
it happens.
Point?
But and people will say it's sort of the way she races as well. If she's going to lose, she's going to lose by a long way. So when she drops out the back of the tally, everyone's going to say, oh, we wanted her to retire. But, that's just the way she races. That's not that she's in pain or anything, but it's just, she's probably just dropped off a yard or two. But because the way she races, the margin she gets beaten by is so amplified.
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon just make a decision. Like, if you want to race her on, then don't get served this preparation. That's just me. You're paying a $220,000 service fee to go and see I'm Invincible. Just, I don't know. I think just retire her. Either race her on or retire her. So I think they're going to have a bite at both cherries. Hopefully she does retire safe and sound. Kaying Rising, the news dropped today that he has taken up the Hong Kong Jockey Club slot in the Everest.
Really?
So they've bought the slot and he's confirmed. So he's in. It's very exciting. Are you going to be there at Randwick?
We'll see, probably.
I reckon I'll be there. I've got a Bucks party and I'll be
flying. You've got to go for a shit done, don't you? So
flying straight there. Yes. I've got him going for a good amount. Like, it wouldn't be my best result ever, but... It's still a big collect. All right, shall we move on?
Sure.
As I said, if Nico joins, then he joins. But we just couldn't wait any longer. Sorry, Nico. And it's obviously last quarter of the football, and this nice little Airbnb that we've booked. The walls are very thin, so if you hear a bit of theatrics, I can't apologise for that. All right, Butter, let's get stuck into this program. Flemington, there's a bit of rain around on Saturday and the rail is out 8 metres. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's a 6 now, and if there's rain around the day, that could spell that might not be ideal. But and the rail's out 8. I think last time that happened was around May last year, so a while ago, and that raced reasonably fair to wanting to be on pace. It's not, we don't really see rail at 8 metres at Flemington very often, but we'll see how it goes. I mean, there could be, depends on the rain. If it's raining on the day, that's tricky, but it is a tricky day. It's a competitive day of racing. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's lots of extra variables because it's raining and big, massive fields and horses aren't quite as I guess, consistent and as what, I don't know, the gap between some of them is there's not a whole, like any of them can win, essentially. So yeah. pick your bets.
Yeah, no, 100%. Let's start in race two. It's the Brendan Dreschler, two-year-old, 1,100 meter. It's an open handicap. Miss Olay, $2.30. Favorite from Santana on debut, $6. Also on debut is Son of Kirk. Obviously, another Olay Kirk, $6.50. Espana, $7. Expulsion, $12. And Latin Boss, $13. I'm going to start pretty strong here with Miss Olay. I do think she looks one of the better bets of the day. I love what she did last start, and most of all, I love what the market did with her. She was smashed. Form Kings got her as a 17.9% firmer on the day. The rating was good for this, and she's drawn the outside, which usually is a positive down the straight. Sometimes with these two-year-old races, they do like to hunt up the fence and find that rail, but I just think she might be better than these, and I'm willing to take the punt that these unraced horses aren't as good as her. So despite the fact that she goes up in the weights, yeah, I just love what she did last start. Sectionally, very good. And wet track is no real concern to me. She's got through it twice. So, yeah, happy to be on. What were your thoughts?
I didn't really have any. I thought that she was obviously good on debut, and it's probably makes you feel all warm and comfortable that she's seen the a wet track before, and she obviously got through it. So I mean, she's clearly favorite, and if I get a competitive price, about probably 2-1, 280, that sort of price, I'd probably be interested in getting involved. Yeah, you're right. I don't think any of these are top liners. I think Miss Olay is clearly the best of them. The unraced lot didn't seem to jump off the page at me, and if I was going to have a bet, I'd probably only be interested in being on Miss Olay, but I'm not really interested. These Olay Kirks are going well, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Is he only a first season sire or second season?
This is his whatever it is. Second season, or maybe it's first actually. No,
whatever it is, they're going very well.
They are. He's related to Black Caviar, so it kind of makes sense from a breeding standpoint. But he wasn't. Huh?
Oh, you mean Olay Kirk? Sorry.
He wasn't that fast, but well bred, obviously. And this mystery and drama is interesting as well, because I think it'll get out of a distance. Mum's Unforgotten, who do you remember her, Ben? Unforgotten?
Yeah, the Waller horse.
One in Oaks. Yeah, Waller one.
Yeah.
Mm. Bit of a...
Alrighty. Yeah, so for me, best bet of the day at Flemington.
Oh, really?
Let's go to race three now. 1,400-meter benchmark, 78, fillies and mares. Dream All Day, $4.40. Bottle will be dreaming of this horse winning. Stylish, $5. A horse he was with last time from Cindy Falls, $5.50. Jazz Affair, $7. And Avery, $9. Tell us why you like Dream All Day. She's a horse who's put down a couple big performances, but she's also been beaten at short quotes a few times as well.
Yeah, she's a full sister to a tissue. She's only raced seven times. She's put two big ratings down already. I think that she's going to put herself in a position forward of midfield, on pace even, and in a race with not a whole lot of speed. And the main dangers will be giving her a start. And I think if she's fit enough, and Mick Price and Kent Jr. do get them relatively wound up early, I think she's a pretty comfortable bet at that $4.40 price. I think she has the scope to be a lot better than these. A lot better than these. You know, that way she won first up in her maiden at Ballarat last preparation, that those sectional times were enormous. And then I backed her obviously at Ballarat, and she firmed enormously and then went under. And then she beat Exudo that day at Flemington, and it was a really good win and good time. And he's obviously done a lot of good things since. He won a string of races where he won three or four in a row. And I just think, you know, the rest of these are sort of that they'll be in this grade forever. And she has she looks like one that could go right on with it. And third preparation, I think she had a couple issues as well. But yeah, I think it's her time to make a lot of progression. And she looks a really comfortable bet in the fourth race of Flemington. Also, I have something on Riverina Power, who does her best work at Flemington. And I have a third pick, $31, is enormous price.
Oh yeah, she's longest price horse in the race.
Yeah, is she? Yeah, okay. Well, she got back a long way at Bendigo and ran nice time, and she was good at Warrnambool. And she won at Flemington around this time last year. You go back five starts, and she ran third to Is It Me, you know. Nice horse on a day, and she seems to go really well at Flemington.
Reads well. Two quick questions. You've got Luke Cartwright on from Barrier 10. This is a horse who has missed a start before, and she also has led when she beat Enzudo that day at headquarters.
Did have Blake Shin on that day, which is a bit scary.
The map, are you just leaving it up to Luke? You're not really sure where she settles?
Well, I think they'll aim to be positive. If she's not, I'll be disappointed because there's not a whole lot of speed in this race, and I thought that she could control it. And what they should do is just be handle wells down and control the race, because her main dangers will be the back half of the field from the gates that they've drawn. Cindy Falls has no speed.
Stylish is the one Stylish last time. Bit unlucky.
Yeah, a bit unlucky, but I don't know. It was a bit of a firmer, wasn't it? I can't remember. I think it was. Anyway, Dream All Day is a nice bet there.
All right, let's move on then to race four. It is a 1,100-metre three-year-old race, and it is Yulong Galore here, and you're backing one of them. It might not be the one that everyone thinks. Soft Love is $3.20 favourite from One Hard Lady, $6.50. Romani It Demum, $8. Run Like an Encryption, $10, as well as Coraline and Sun Setting. Who do you like?
Soft Love is obviously a nice horse, but that was so bad at Scone. I don't know what happened there. It won really that Caulfield rate. I think it might have found like the right part of the track. I don't know. Maybe I'm being cute there, but she just absolutely handled them and beat Thames, who's done some nice things since. Ran massive late time and then went to Scone and was a big drifter in betting. So they knew about it. Maybe she paraded badly. I'm not sure. She went awful.
I will just say, you said two starts back, she found the right part of the track. I would probably argue last start at Scone, she wasn't in the right part of the track. Drawn barrier one along the inside. So that might be one thing to consider. But
yeah, but there was a thing that went up the inside of her and went past her. So I thought she was pretty bad. The market hated her. I mean, she can win. She's favourite. But I thought that Sunsetting had been making a lot of nice improvement. I backed it first up at Maui, and then it went second up at Mornington. Dakota Keen rode it. God bless you, Dakota Keen.
Trembles.
Trembles yesterday. But Jamie Mott handled Dakota Keen at Mornington. This horse still found a way to win. It's a half sister to Amenable. I think it's a nice horse, and it's sort of always given me the impression that 1,000 meters is too short, and it's just been getting away with it. So up to 1,100 meters, I think it can sprint this horse. And I thought that the price it went up, and it's probably $10 now, so it's still very backable. I could be wrong with this one, but I thought it was more like a $5 chance and probably second pick behind Soft Love, and like on the better side of $5. So I thought that was a really nice price, the $10 that they're betting now.
All right, sweet. I'm just refreshing my TAB app here, and I noticed that Tom Liberatore hasn't had a touch since midway through the third quarter, and there's a minute left, and he's completely let me down. He must have had something go wrong, because that's so unlikely. But anyway, rant over. Race five is the Vobis Golden Mile, 1,600 metres. Jimmy the Bear is locked in as the equal favourite on the backup with O2 Good. They're $2.70 a piece. From Pounding, $8.50. Magnus Spin, also $8.50. Regal Vow, $11. And Chicago Storm, $19. I was keen last week on Jimmy the Bear, and I'm going again. Look, I will concede that the race shape here might not be as good as last time, but he's just got to be a better horse than Oh Too Good. He brings in better recent ratings. He's come back super this preparation, ran second to War Machine in Fast Time first up, then last start, won over the mile, wore down Regal Zeus. Barrier 10 here is a little bit sticky. Hopefully, given he's the fit horse on the backup, that they do go forward. But yeah, I just, at these odds, I just can't be backing Oh Too Good to beat Jimmy. It's a little bit of a shame that Tom Preble can't use his 2 kilo claim, given this is a Vobis race. It would have been nice to be 57 kilos, but nonetheless, they've obviously been, want to be a little bit loyal.
Very
to him.
Loyal, but I want to win cash, so kick them off.
Yep. Are you backing?
Yeah, I'm probably going to back him. You're right. I was looking at the race and I sort of thought that, Paddy Payne, Drawn 10, they're going to go back, aren't they? But they're on the backup. They have to go forward. I mean, they did show intent last time. He half missed it. They pushed him up, and he did sit wide with that cover at Caulfield. Like he didn't have the softest runs of all time. He was good there, so they obviously had the intent to be forward there. So I hope and I assume that they would have the intent to be forward again here. The early favorite, who's equal favorite now, Oh Too Good. Like you said, Ben, this horse has a profile about it, and it keeps going around these short prices, and I backed it last time. But it doesn't have the rating in comparison to Jimmy the Bear. And I also think that it's probably better at 14 than a mile. I don't see a mile being what it really wants. If it's lightly braced, it can keep improving. But Jimmy the Bear's just got so many ratings that just handle Oh Too Good, and the rest are sort of there or thereabouts. And if I get knocked off by Pounding, Magna Spin, those ones, those sorts of horses, Chicago Storm, I'll cop it. But Jimmy the Bear, I think it at 280 is the best price now. I think that's probably fair. I haven't backed him yet, but I'm sort of thinking about it now, and I think it probably should, because he probably starts about 240, maybe a little bit shorter than that, 230.
Huge. All righty, let's move on to, we're going to skip race 6 and go to race 7. It's a benchmark 100 over 2,000 metres. Liberami comes up to the distance for the first time, but you wouldn't think that would slow him down. He was very good over 1,800 metres the last time. Nonconformist, $7.50 from Townsend, $8. Euphoric's also $8.50, I should say. Shariar is $9, and Ruakaka Raider is $10. For me, this is probably the best value of the day, each way in number 8, Shariar. His recent form, I know he has been struggling. He probably doesn't have the knockout punch to really put fields away, but he has been running well in, I would say, better races than this. Although it was a benchmark 100 last time, it was quite a strong race with the likes of Immediacy, Athol Fled, Dublin Journal, beat him home for third, and he's come out and won since. Rating very, very good there. His 2,000-meter form at Flemington is brilliant. He's had 5 starts, 3 wins, and a third over the track and trip. And he's going to map positive from barrier 2. I think there's just too many ticks not to back him here. Each way, $9, $3 a place. Soft track is no issue either. And, yeah, those recent ratings adjusted to 56.5 kilos have him very well in. And some of his main dangers, Liberami and Nonconformist, are probably going to be well back in the field. So, if he runs to recent form, he's just got too many aces on the board that say he shouldn't be missing top 3 at the worst. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think Liberami is way too short. I think that price is gross. Won well last time, and I was wrong. I thought he was vulnerable, but they wasn't. He wasn't. They completely hammered him in betting, and he hammered them. I think 2-1 though is disgustingly short. I mean, it can win, but it's a very short price for Yeah, I couldn't take it. I think there's lots of similar horses to him. He's coming through midweek races. He won that good race at Flemington last time. But, you know, Euphoric started favourite just about in the Cranbourne Cup 2 years ago and had been mixing form a bit. And, you know, at the start of this preparation, you sort of thought he was gone. He'd never see the likes of that again. But the last two runs have been absolutely enormous, more so the last start. The race at Mornington, he got a long way back and then he ripped home. And then last start, he ripped home again. He got back to third last, one of a low average tempo, and he just he ran in massive splits to run into fifth there. And I think if you you account for that, you can get him to somewhere near his best form, and that's starting favourite in the Cranbourne Cup and finishing quickly. So he's one I'll definitely have something on at $10. I do agree with you, Ben. Shayar's the box ticker, but I just don't know. I can never catch this horse. He's I don't know.
He did kick Deacon's head in here not that long ago. I know 2,000 meters, but he did smash Deacon over 2,000 meters. Probably not Deacon's strong suit, but when he's right, he's right.
Yeah, non-conformist is a little bit interesting as well, but I don't. Graham Begg's just amazing, isn't he? He had some horse off about 500 days today. It was smashing the betting and it shat in. You can just back whatever he brings to the races with confidence, but I wouldn't back non-conformist here. Maybe next time.
So your numbers would probably be like a 12, 8, 13?
Well,
12, Euphoric on 8, top, Shariar, Liberami.
Oh, well, I don't really do on tops. So I just back them.
So right now your only bet is Euphoric.
Oh yeah, I'm not betting anything else. I'm just backing Euphoric probably.
All right,
I haven't backed it yet, but I will.
Let's move on to one you're really keen on here in race 8, to 2,000 meter 3-year old quality event, and Chocolates is obviously the daughter of Shocking, the Melbourne Cup winner, $4 favorite from Stylish Secret, being well supported into $5.50 from I Only Wish, the same quote. Champagne Jenny, $7.50. Hot Majesty, $13. And Verona Rupees is $16. Chocolates, she steps up to 2,000 meters again. Surely it looks her type of race.
Yeah, I backed her last time and she somehow missed third. Lucky I didn't back her each way. I would have not been happy. Just screaming for 2,000 meters. Got a long way back there. If she can hold us, she just has to sit midfield somewhere, I think. And she surely just finds herself there, you'd think. She has to be favored. They bet $5 earlier today or yesterday or whatever it was. That was just... I mean, she's got to start at $3, doesn't she? She's... I Only Wish has been improving as she progressively gets further up in distance. It's a Poisson Saloon. You'd think that'd be the case, but I think Chocolates is the improving one. And if the Queensland Oaks was in 4 weeks' time, she'd be interesting in that, so... Chocolates is clearly the bet in the penultimate event at Flemington.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreeance. She just looks so well in here. She gets in with 54 kilos, Harry Coffey, Kieran Maher. She's third up. She gets to 2,000 meters again. She was finishing off. Surely she ran the fastest late splits last time. Let me just have a look.
I'm going to back Kiss My Rock as well.
So she ran the fastest last 400 metres of the race last time, came home very, very well. She's looking for this 2,000 metre trip. And soft track, she does have some form on it. Shocking was very good in the wet himself. So, yeah, I'm pretty keen here. I've got a couple of multis through I Only Wish as well. It's probably 7 on top from 5 for me.
Yeah, I'm probably going to back Kiss My Rock as well. It's a nice horse.
Is this the horse that led it a crazy tempo?
Yes, it's that one. I backed this horse last time as well. I backed lucky I didn't. That was Alana Kelly. I backed first, third, and fourth in that race last time. If Taken would have got beat, I would have just quit betting forever. was a head bubble with Detroit City.
Would have been, wow. All right. Any other thoughts at Flemington?
Not really. And the last was a little bit interesting, but it's a head case. I thought Pivot City was short enough at that price with, you know, I thought it was pretty plain last time. It's probably had its chance this preparation. But then I went looking at everything to try and find a way to get a beat, and I couldn't. So it was, yeah, I've got no idea. I mean, I'll probably back Crosshaven because I always back Crosshaven. He was bloody Crosshaven. Really good. He was always good. In the worst part of the track at Flemington, and he'll be in the right part of the track, and yeah, he'll be a bet for me. I always bet Crosshaven.
What price is he?
$34.
$34 top price. Gets a 3 kilo claim. Soft track form is actually decent. Well, I actually think sometimes with that soft track, like not heavy, but soft track 1200 meters, it just sort of helps him settle into a rhythm a little bit better and brings the field back to him. So, yeah, I feel like you might be onto something at a massive quote. All right. We're going over to Randwick next, where it is currently a heavy 9. Drying conditions over the next couple of days, so probably still in the soft range. And we're going to race 7. It's a 1600-meter open contest. Cool Jakey, $2.80 from Hollywood Hero, $6.50, Grabini, $7.50, Nelly Lalax, $7.50, Mighty Ulysses, $10, and Christ El, $13. So a lot of the usual suspects here, but Cool Jakey, Jakey just looks the one. Claims under the minimum here, so 54.5 kilos, gets 3 kilos off that with the 3-kilo claimer, who is actually going quite well, Jace McMurray, it must be said. Gets him with 51.5 kilos. I think we'll get the uncontested lead here in front, and soft tracks are right up his alley. He meets Hollywood Hero, who beat him last time and is the second elect in the market here. A cool 5 kilos better off at the weights, and Hollywood Hero goes from drawing barrier 3 to barrier 15. So I think he just has to turn the tables on that horse. He'll be better again from a fitness perspective, second time at the mile this preparation, and yeah, there are just so many green lights in his favor here, and I've taken an early price of $3.40, so pretty keen. Pretty keen. All right, where are we going to go next?
Bob Charlie Stakes.
Yeah, In Flight, the novelist, Barber. In Flight's probably going to be hard enough to beat, but yeah, I don't know. Did you have any thoughts on that race?
No. What about, I don't remember, Kazoo? What's that thing? Oh, Cigar Flicks going around. Are you going to back it?
No. I think me and Cigar Flick parted ways. Who's riding Cigar Flick?
Pin. W. Wirimu Pin.
Wirimu
Pin.
Is
he over there now? What the... Where, isn't he in New Zealand?
I don't know. He's been everywhere, man. He's... remember when he came to Victoria and they stuffed up his...
Yeah, they said he was a 3
how much he was claiming.
Yeah.
And all of his horses that he won on got DQ'd.
Yeah, that's shit.
It was scenes. It was scenes.
Did they take the prize money off the owners? Did that happen or how did that work?
I don't think you can. I think they just took the wins off the horses.
Lucky you didn't win a group one.
Like, nah, you can't take prize money off owners, can you? Especially if it happens like 2 weeks later.
I assume not.
I would have thought Racing Victoria probably just had to accept responsibility and pay the... I don't know. I actually don't know how it all works. But anyway, if you back the second horse on a Wirimu and the Wirimu Pin horse won, you definitely didn't get your money back. That's just tough luck. All right, let's go up to Eagle Farm, where it's drying conditions, obviously, after being rained out last week. It's only a soft 5 now, and we're heading for a good 4 because we got 23 degrees on Friday. We got 25 degrees on Saturday, and I'm liking that a lot with some of my bets, including the big one in the Group 1. We'll start in Race 4. It is the Morton Cup 1200-meter Group 2. Front page, $3.50 from A Little Deep, $4.40. Hidden Wealth 650, Punchline $7, and Warney 13s. Well, I used the phone a friend lifeline earlier on in the week, and Front Page was nominated for both the Morton Cup and the Bob Charlie at Randwick. And I saw he had 55 kilos here, 59 there. He was giving a lot of weight to a lot of horses. And plan A was always to come here if he got a dry track. So that's what he got. And what we got at the six-day racing was tipped him at $15. $11 was also readily available. And then $9 was available after that. Well, he's now the $3.50 favorite. So we've done very, very well there. I think you just have to forgive his last run in the Quokka. They went way too fast there. We saw what happened. The race inverted. Joker's Grin came from well back. And those on that on-speed brigade, which included Overpass, just capitulated late. So he was one of those. If he gets back to his Galaxy run the start prior, where he only ran Private Harry to three quarters of a length, then he's incredibly hard to beat here. He's probably not the same horse he was maybe a couple seasons ago, but nonetheless, I reckon he wins. A little deep is no doubt a danger, but Front Page, he just has to get back to that first up rating and he gets back around his Sydney leg. Thoughts?
Sorry, were you talking about the Kingston Smith?
You are sorry. Hopeless.
Sorry.
Talking
sorry,
about sorry. Front Page.
Oh, yeah. He went over to Perth, didn't he?
Yeah, I just don't think... I think they went too fast.
Yeah, well, Overpass fell in the hole. But he was bad in the Doom and 10,000, so I don't know. No idea. That's the Morton Cup, isn't it?
Yeah.
Could Front Page go to a Stradbroke? That'd make it interesting.
He's not... He doesn't run 1,400 off well.
Yeah, but the Stradbroke's awful at the moment, isn't it? Like, there's nothing's going to the Stradbroke.
Yeah. Like, War Machine's $3 favourite. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. When you think of a Stradbroke, it's not going to be a Stradbroke of times gone past, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, Stradbroke's been really good recently. Like, it's had a resurgence almost.
Yeah. Who we had? We had Think About It, win it.
Think About It, who went on to win a Everest, Alligator Blood in the resurgence campaign, where he came from being gone to winning Group 1s again. Mm. Who won
Tafane
last
year? Won it, and then she won the Tats horse. Tiara as well.
Yeah. Who won last year?
Steffi
Magnetica.
Steffi, yeah. And
she's Doncaster winner.
Doncaster winner.
If there's a big feature Group 1 winner in the Stradbroke field this year, I'm not here. I mean, War Machine can keep improving, but I mean,
Steffi
I just
Magnetica,
think War Machine's...
Steffi Magnetica is also famous for being Adam Blanco's fourth of the year on his on the Racing Sports podcast.
Right.
Ran fourth in the Champions Mile, so there you go.
Yeah, thank God.
Look
did.
What the cat dragged in.
Oh, shit, here we go. Nico's here. Thanks for joining, mate.
Nico, are you on, brother? Hopeless. Absolutely hopeless. Let's anyway. Move on to race seven, shall we? It's a Kingswood Smith Cup. Group one, 1,300 metres, weight for age. Jolly Star into $2.30 favourite from Giga Kick, $4. Benedetta Sevens, Kimochi, $10. Rise at Dawn, $14. And Payline is $18. Obviously, we've got a plethora of scratchings. They are Rothfire, Bazusto, Amina, and Private Eye. I think Rothfire had something go amiss last week, and Bazusto...
That's disappointing. Is he done now? Is he retired?
I don't know. He's still running very well. Hmm. I don't think it was a major. I think it was just something small. I'd have to look it up. Bazusto was disappointing in the Fred Best, and Private Eye is going first up into a Stradbroke, which is going to be interesting. The speed here, you've got Rise at Dawn, is going to kick up from barrier one. I think Zoroastro probably crosses and leads him from out there. He comes into barrier eight or barrier nine now. Oh, no, sorry. He's in barrier six. I'm looking at the wrong thing. Zoroastro's in barrier six. So I think he'll be leading the field. Golden Mile wants to be positive.
Yeah, and he's interesting.
Who? Golden Mile?
Hmm.
Nah, spell. And Jolly Star and Giga Kick, probably just negative neutral out of the barriers. I think I said it on the podcast last week, a soft five or better, Jolly Star just wins. She's mighty short right now, but I am on her at $3.50. I think I was worried last week when it turned into that heavy track, but I'm not really worried now. She's just going to settle, probably back half of the field. I feel like James McDonald's just going to hook her to the outside, and I think she's going to be too good here. I can understand the backing. It's turning into quite a weak race now, and look, you've still got Giga Kick, Benedetta, Camonchi. There's question marks on all of them, and I just feel like her second in the all-aged, her win in the new market, she was probably unlucky in the TJ, just wasn't in the right part of the track. I think she's just too good for him here, Bot. What do you think?
She probably is, but I was just having a look at the Golden Mile looks a little bit interesting to me. Ran big splits last time. If he gets back to his best, because he had 300 days off, run the rust off, they go forward on him. The two favourites, Giga Kick, Jolly Star, they'll be back of the field. They'll be probably almost last. Benedetta will probably be just in front of them. I mean, if they go slow here, I mean, they probably won't, but the one that will have the sit on them is Golden Mile, and he is a very good horse at his best. He's had three runs to run the rust off. He ran massive splits last time from gate 17 at Eagle Farm, and now surely they're positive. It just sort of makes sense, I think, at 30 to 1. But you're right, I think Jolly Star, this just, it, I mean, you're, if it's soft five or better, I think 1,300 metres is probably her perfect distance. And if she runs her rating, then they probably won't see which way she goes, unless Giga Kick goes full, gets to his best. But that's probably unlikely, I think. But yeah. I mean, he'll improve off last start. He ran second in the Everest. I don't know. I just think that it's a bit of a nothing race that you can have a stab at Golden Mile in.
Yep. I've also got two all-in bets. Benedetta, I think I've got $15 for, and Camonchi, I've got $17. They're just sort of spec bets. They're still going to be a result for me, but yeah, I've had a very large bet, Jolly Star, and she's my best of the day. At Eagle Farm,
I reckon.
If I get $5 Giga Kick, I might save off.
I think Golden Mile will be more likely than Camonchi. Do you reckon?
No.
There's no way. I've just tuned into the podcast and Bot is tipping Golden Mile. There's no possible way.
Go on then, champion. What are you tipping?
I'm not tipping him. I'm just talking shit. There's no possible way. I'm not tipping or anything. I'm just having a look at the race. I'm asking questions. I haven't done the form. I'm just having a look at some of the
Golden Mile beats Jolly Star, which is one of our technically best sprinters, Carrying Rising might win by 2 furlongs in the Everest.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good horse at his best.
At his best was years ago. He's gone to stud. Oh, really? Couldn't even be good at that. And now he's back and he can't even be good as a racehorse. Like, you've had more wins than him of late.
I've had a few.
That's a few more than him.
Last week, Nick, you were starting to sway in Giga Kick's corner with the wet track, but where are you at now?
Well, back to a better surface, Jolly Star has to be on top. I still think Giga Kick is a chance to beat her if he's up to his best. But I think the whole dynamics of the race has changed. There was a lot of speed that had come out of the race. Giga Kick was going to go forward, potentially sit OSL last week. And Jolly Star hated a wet track. Now Jolly Star's going to be in the race with a few other horses, and it's probably advantage her on a drier track. Yeah, I still think she's the horse to beat. If Giga Kick
gets
back,
it's going to be a good four.
Yeah, well, it's D-Day for her, really, because she puts in a few good runs and everyone gets on the bandwagon, and then she puts in a bad one and everyone goes, we overrated her.
Yeah,
she's a very up-and-down horse, and I'm of that opinion that there's two of her, even though you can make excuses for the down runs that she's had, I'm still not 100% on her. Like, she should go here and just win this race, all being equal. I think Gear Kick, this is probably his last chance to win a Group 1. He should have won last start, but I think all the injuries and stuff that he's had is catching up with him, and he's not the horse that he sort of once was. So, Jolly Star on top. If she doesn't perform, I hope Gear Kick wins. But, yeah, Benedetta, she's a Group 1.5 horse. Like, if she's to win the Group 1, it's a weak race and a few others fail. Kimochi, well, there's many versions of her. And then you go down to, like, Rise at Dawn. This is a prep run for next week. Yeah, Hayline, 100%. He was 100-1 last start. You know, the race becomes very thin outside the top few. So, yeah, I think Jolly Star should just turn up and win, but, yeah, we'll wait and see, I suppose. She's getting short enough now at sort of 2:30-odd.
Yeah, you can probably wait now if you're not on already.
Hey.
All right.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Next race.
Yeah, shut up. We skip race 8. We go to... Oh, do you have anything in race 8?
I think you can take on...
Yeah, it's an interesting race, isn't it? It's the Oaks.
Let me introduce the race. Race 8, Queensland Oaks, 2,200 metres, Group 1, 3-year-old fillies. I was keen to skip it because Philly is $4.20 favourite coming off a couple wins, really builded the picket fence, but draws 16 out to 2,200 metres now. Don't think she'll get it as easy from Benagio off the flop last time. Excuses with that, $5.50. Panito, $6, and moving out, $8. And Jenny's Meadow, who was screaming home from the back last time, and I would have been keen here, but she's drawn barrier 1.
That's fine, isn't it?
She's probably the one I'm going to back, but I just feel like she might come into some traffic. Brownie's just got to go forward.
Yeah. I mean, she's giving me... You have to be forward from that spot. She's fourth up. She makes sense. The other one was Sweltering, who ran second in the Australasian Oaks. It's 50-1. What's doing there? It was held up for half the straight and then ran on into second in the Australasian Oaks behind Benagil. It was a strong race. And now it's 50-1 here. It's bred to run it. It's probably going to get back as it's drawn in 21. But, I mean, there's some horses that are just shorter than it that shouldn't be.
That's a shocking race. Shouldn't be a Group 1.
Panito has never run anywhere near the race that Sweltering ran last time and is $6 and Sweltering is 51.
Yeah, that's just Rachel King drawing the car park. I'm Jenny's Meadow on top. I think she'll appreciate the step up and trip, and barrier 1 just has to get a split at the right time. But, yeah, I think she looks the stayer of this lot, and she's on top for me. Nico?
Yeah, I think it's a decent betting race. I think you can take on Filia and Benagil. I think the race is between sort of Panito, Jenny's Meadow and Churchill's Choice. So if you can build enough of a book around those sort of horses, Panito's in a bit tight now, but especially Jenny's Meadow and Churchill's Choice, I think they're probably the two bets in the race. But Filia from 16, I think you can take her on, and Benagil, she's been up a while and had a few grand finals. So I think she's easy enough to oppose.
All right. You might be able to do one of those double lays. You know when you can lay two horses at I think Ladbrokes were doing it. Or maybe they're only doing a back version. Oh, I can't remember. I'm pretty sure there was a bookie where you could take on two different horses and the price be like a combined lay, but I'd have to...
Isn't that to back them, not to lay them?
Yeah, maybe it's only to back them. I'd have to look it up. Maybe Betfair is the only one you can be against them. Probably is. I'm probably talking smack here.
Well, they're good odds anyway. Probably. Jenny's Meadow and Churchill's Choice. $9, $12.
All right. Race 9 is the Queensland Derby Group on 2,400 metres. Statuario, $6. Baldetel, $7. King of Thunder, $8. Feminile, $9.50. And Firm Agreement, $10. Yet another weird race. It's stronger than the Oaks, but it's still not really Group 1 standard.
These races are the best.
At the 6-day, we've backed both Statuario and Baldetel, $13 all in. Statuario back on a dry track, good four. He's drawn barrier 5. Third time at the distance. And he was really, really good last time in the South Australian Derby, covered a lot more ground than the winner. I think he's clearly on top and clearly a bet even right now at $6. I think he's going to improve again. He's got to turn the tables on Femminile from last time. And Johnny Allen just has to give him a good ride. So clearly on top, but Baldetel, as I said, we've got the early overs. She's probably tight enough now, but J-Mac Waller, she was always going to be well-backed. She only had a small mishap last week, and that's why she was scratched, but I wouldn't worry about that. She draws wide. She might be in the best part of the track late in the day, and she's also onside for me. So pretty boring market order for me, but as I said, on at the early goods. Nico, what's your angle here, if you got one?
Yeah, well, obviously we're committed to Baldetel early price. I don't love that she was out last week. She's back in this week. It's hard to win group ones off setbacks, so that's what she's had, but you trust Waller and J-Mac to hopefully get it done. She's probably disadvantaged by a better track. She was a horse that was going to get through wetter going. Yeah, so there's enough queries about her. I wouldn't be backing her now, probably, if you're not on already. But, yeah, I think Statuario is definitely the horse to beat. As we alluded to last week, he's got all the right form coming in. Perfect barrier, track conditions, no matter, no issue for him. Yeah, I think he's definitely the horse to beat.
All righty, too easy. Nothing in the last for you?
No, nothing in the last for me.
No, it looks a tough race. All right, let's go around the grounds. Will Bott, anything Friday, Sunday, out wide, country, yep. Saturday?
Swan Hill on Friday. We're going to race number two and we're backing Home Zone. Home Zone. Even money, yep. Now. That's probably backable still. I'd still take Even Money. It ran a really nice debut rating and the rest are not much good. And then Nate, race number six, I'm going to have something on Etara, who turned up first up at Warrnambool, I want to say. Was wide there, pulled up with a poor recovery. And, you know, the Warrnambool Carnival is probably not the best place to kick off your preparation. And then it went to Cassidy and got too far back in a slowly run race. And I think it goes to 1,200 to 600 metres straight away. I think it's the best horse in this field. And it's $14. So if it can overcome two poor runs into a preparation, I think there was signs of life second up. And it is 1,200 to 1,600 metres in one start. But I think at its best, it wins this comfortably. And it's a fair enough price to find out. And in the main race, the Golden Topaz, interesting race. Where are my prices? I'm going to back Who Dares.
This is a better race than the Group 1s in Queensland.
It is. It's a good race. I think Who Dares is inside 10-1. He was good first up at the Country Discovery over 1,000 metres. That's not him. He got run off his legs a little. Was wide and uncomfortable at Wagga. Behind horses like the Gravina and Instructor, Compelling Truth, those sorts of ones, and then went to Flemington, led at the wrong side of the track. And I think here he trialled really nicely between runs, and the top of the market here is really, really sort of dodgy. I think Ruta Royale is not I just don't get the vibe that he's a 1,200-metre horse, and I think dropping back, I think he's a dodgy favourite. Pressdown is probably one I could have something on as well. He's been off his best this preparation, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if he gets back to it here. Yellow Sam has been well supported today, which is scary, but I think it's more of a 1,400-metre horse. DK is going to get back. I backed it last start. I'm still on the floor. So much cash. but it's going to get back here. And Swan Hill, no thank you. And Golden Monkey is one of those Singapore horses. It was fine at Dechuca in the Country Discovery, but you know, leave me out of that form. I mean, leave me out of it. Second up, 50 days between runs. Yeah. pretty keen, I'm very, very keen at $26 on Who Dares. I think it's a great bet. And I'll probably have something on Press Down as well.
Sweet. Is just a question. Is DK named after Darren Weir? I've got a feeling he might be, because this is a horse who, this is like, obviously, Weary's had a lot of horses he's been looking after and getting fit, etc. And this is another one who he's had. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's named after the great DK Weir.
I still can't believe it didn't win last time. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Nico, give us your around the ground set. I think you've got a couple in WA.
Yeah, well, obviously I've got Flemington Race 2, number 2, Miss Olay. Pretty keen on her just to win again. Looks a good race. Wiz jumps on. If it gets wet, that's going to be no issue. So, yeah, that's the only sole bet for me at Flemington. Race 7, joining you with Cool Jakey. Looks a sit and steer job.
At Randwick?
Straight, yep. At Randwick, yeah. Race 7, straight to the front. Should be too good for them. I want to have something on In Flight in Race 8. I think this race is no harder than last start. Wet track, no worries. Hard to beat again. Then we, yeah, head to the West. Race 7. I want to have something on Western Empire. My confidence isn't what it was a fortnight ago, but yeah.
Why?
Well, he's missed a run at 1,400 metres and he's coming off a foot abscess. So
how was he?
12 to 16.
They've had a couple of gallops into him, but it's still not ideal. They're going to get their toe into the track, which apparently is going to be no issue for him. But yeah, I want to be on him, but he's not bet of the year or anything like that. 260 is sort of fair enough. He's racing similar horses to what he was going to be. Yeah, he's the best horse in the race, but coming off a setback doesn't necessarily mean that he's just going to turn up and win like I thought he
just
was
a quick
last
one. A hat tip to Magnificent Andy. He's got to be one of the most consistent horses in WA. Like, this is probably not a price range you usually find him at, but gee, he runs well in every single race he contests just about, and his ratings are very, very solid as well.
Oh, 100%. He's a model of consistency, but if the right Western Empire turns up, he's simply better
Western
than
Empire's a better horse, yeah.
Whether he's going to turn up and be at his best off a couple of setbacks, we'll wait and see. And then Love and War, his win in the last, or race 8, his win last start was something that you had to sort of see to believe. He's on track for, you know, something like a railway at the end of the year, the way he's sort of progressing. He just looks like he should just turn up and win the last, I think. Soft track's no issue for him. I think he's sort of a fair enough price. I think he might probably start in the red. Yeah, there's a lot of ticks for him, so he's probably the best in WA. But yeah, sort of just want to have something on Western Empire as well, but yeah, that's sort of it for me. I didn't mind Yellow Sam and Dubai Poet in the Topaz tomorrow, but it's a tricky enough sort of race.
Yeah. All right. That's the betting run and done, but we've got to get to the podcast mulching now, our back, lay, and pray. And fellas, the recorder is on here because we actually got the podcast multi last week. It was a filthy old fill-up, paid about 25 to 1. So give us your best bet, your best lay, and your best each way, and make sure that best bet is a good one.
I think I'll make it Dream All Day.
All right, so that's race 3, Flemington.
Yep.
$4.40 is the price currently with Bet365. A lay or an each, a value?
Liberami is too short, and Euphoric.
Euphoric each way in race 7, I want to say. Flemington, yep.
Yep.
Nico?
Miss Olay can be my best. Olay can be Filio in the Oaks, and my each way can be Churchill's Choice and Jenny's Meadow. I think they're both over the odds.
All right. My best bet's going to be Jolly Star, race 7, number 10, at Eagle Farm. Best lay is probably going to be Filia in the Oaks as well. It's not really that brave, $4, but nonetheless. And best each way, he's got to be Charriar or Shayar. It would be nice if it was Charriar, race 7 at Flemington, but number 8, currently $9.50, the top price. So let me go and punch these in. We go $2.30. I think you can get better than that, but just for Bet365, say $2.30 into $4.40 into Eagle Farm, $2.40. And again, the multi comes out at 25 to 1, fellas. So there we go. Bot, your one is the split. So prayers for that. Hopefully you can get up again. A couple of questions before we wrap up this podcast. Sacred Falls on Twitter says, Bot, with the massive late drift on Trembles yesterday, are you just loading up as there is more of an edge, or do you restrict yourself because it's being so soft late?
I tend to depends on the horse. It depends on the horse, because if I back a horse first up and it's out the gate, I feel disgusting and I don't want to touch it. But if it's a horse like Trembles, where I think the market was taking a set against Dakota Keen, to put it nicely, and also Mornington was a bit on pace, and also that it was coming off a long break first up, and it got a relatively easy time first up. But I thought it was a really nice horse, and I thought it was going to get a nice lead on a good track. So I was happy to make it a short price, and I kept betting throughout. So it was a very good result, and it really depends on the horse, though. Like, if a horse is third up and you have a really strong opinion, you price the race, you have no problem with your prices, but it keeps drifting, I think there's no reason to stop. I mean, yep. Of course, bet within your means, but don't let it discourage you from betting.
Yep. Tori Deeney says, backing up on Miss Olay looks a lock if she handles a straight. Yeah, Nico and I are very keen, so yes. Charlie says Giga Kick or Jolly Star. I think we're on Jolly Star this week, but Giga Kick last week with that rain probably would have been an advantage him, but we're going to be racing on a good four on Saturday at Eagle Farm, and yeah, that's just Jolly Star's MO. Jim, do you think drifters in market are winning more often recently? And then why would they be drifting unless they are parading badly? Cheers for the Trembles tip.
Well, because there's less people betting into the market as well. So before there was probably, I don't know, just as an example, I'm not sure, but let's give an example. There's 10 really, really big syndicates that were manipulating the market, and now there's 3. So there's going to be less opinion, and then those sorts of that can drive opinion, drive a horse's price down if those 3 line up. So you might get an opportunity to back one. Like, for example, Trembles was one of those. If they backed pretty much everything else, because they thought Trembles was a $4 chance. Whereas if there were other syndicates betting, that they might have thought it was a $2 chance, so that evens out and starts $3 instead. You know,
yep.
It depends on the amount of money wagered on it.
Yep. Josh Snelling says, for Bot, what percentage do you make your markets to? 100%, isn't it?
Yep.
Yep. Ryan Patton, thoughts on what breed of dog it was that took a chunk out of TB's rear? While this happened. Like, I was in the studio.
Did you lose your shit?
I was like...
That was the funniest listening ever.
Because I had just gone into the room in RSN, and then I put my headphones on. I don't think my mic is on at this stage, so it wouldn't have mattered if I had have like laughed or something, but I was like, what on earth just happened?
I would have laughed uncontrollably. Like, I wouldn't be able to compose myself for like 5 minutes. That was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I don't know what type of dog it was, but
it was a greyhound.
I think it was a greyhound.
It's one of his greyhounds.
Yeah, his greyhounds.
Yeah,
well, so that answers that question. It was very funny. And yeah, as I said, I just happened to be in the studio with the headphones on when it happened. Any horses you're looking forward to seeing run at upcoming Royal Ascot Carnival outside of those already tipped to the subs?
Field of Gold
in the St. James Palace. Pfft, lock of the
week. That thing looks like a 130 something horse. That looks like a. That looks like a.
Amazing, yeah, I'm very keen horse. To see Lazat and Saturno Reeve go around in the Jubilee. I'm very keen on that two bet play. And
as for
maybe her. Just as for her, yeah, always keen to see her, but I don't know.
Yeah,
and maybe Illinois in the Gold Cup.
Oh, is that going there?
Yeah,
cool.
He's only the backup. Yeah, backup dancer because Kipros not going to be there.
Field of Gold. Backup, Field of Gold ran the third best Irish Guineas rating this century behind Dubawi and Kingman. Yeah. Sorry. So it's good company.
Nice horse. I reckon he'll be the best horse to run at the
Carnival. He's by Kingman, isn't he?
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's by Kingman. He's closely related to Poussin Stalloon.
Yep. Chris the Caster, this might be your area's bot. With Groupon Racing closing down, winding down in Australia, it's time to turn to some other good racing, the Tour de France. Is Pogacar way too short at $1.35 to take out the entire race? Any value in Vingegaard at $3.25? Or can anyone else spring a mega upset over the 3 weeks?
Well,
Do you follow the racing?
Yeah, yeah. I like watching the cycling. I think it probably is, but the terrain this year is probably suited to Pogacar. Last year, Vingegaard was coming off an injury, but Pogacar's the best cyclist of all time. So, Vingegaard's probably... I don't know.
You don't know.
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, every athlete is probably juiced. Let's be completely honest here, in some sort of way. But, probably not. Probably he probably just wins, but you don't want to take it all 35.
You know what's funny? Chris has probably like asked this question like trying to be funny, and he hasn't actually realized that Bot full on pays attention to the cycling and hasn't actually.
Giro d'Italia's just finished. That was very that was exciting.
Aussie Silver Fox says, from anywhere in the world, what would your dream dam / sire pairing be?
I don't know, like Frankel and Winx or something? Or like Equinox and Prada Jenny or something.
I'd be...
Or Flightline. You need time to think about it.
Flightline and Pippi.
The fastest horse of all time. It'd just fucking go. Apparently Pippi died.
Yeah, I think she did.
Surely not.
Yeah, she did. Apparently.
Well, that's sad.
Very sad. I don't know. A lot of these good like middle distance mares don't produce... I feel like
that's not true. They do.
Well, a lot of the star ones that we've seen in recent times.
I saw something that middle distance mares are more likely to produce good horses than sprinting ones.
Yeah. Well, for some reason. I've got no idea.
I mean, maybe that's wrong. I don't know.
Mitch, who's the best of the day at Pinjarra and why is it repossession, I should say. Nico, did you have a scope of that?
No, I haven't done that race, so I can't sort of comment.
Alex Young, hope you boys got on Boga Legend after last time at Cranbourne. You know what's funny about this? Mitch Friedman kept receipts on my tweet about saying he sleeps with the light on, and he went and liked it. Nothing else, just liked it and just said, "Hey mate, I'm here, and I know you called my horse out.
Back in your box."
I actually like it. I like it.
Yeah,
respect to Mitch.
It's a good bit of
he almost turned it up still. He hit the front at the 250 Boga Legend and he only just put him away. I think a soft track helps him. Probably hasn't let down quite as well on those firm Friday night, Thursday night tracks. But, yeah, soft six today was in his favour. Horses and hallways. Looking at futures market, this is the weirdest question. I've booked in Omotel for Echuca races on Melbourne Cup Day. Single women and Echuca better than Flemington, or should I just stay at home in Adelaide and watch on TV like I always do?
What?
Where to start with that question?
Are there single women in Echuca?
I don't think...
Is there anyone in Echuca?
I don't think it's Echuca or Adelaide where you find them. I'll give you the tip. Nick McGolter... Fan page, Bot versus 100 Giga Kicks, who wins Giga Kicks. Ben, how much better is Caroline Springs FC compared to East Kill? What I will say is a couple of years ago, East Kill, when we had a very strong team in, we beat every team in that Essendon competition at one stage or another other than Keilor. So the team that I played in probably 2 years ago would probably beat the team I'm playing in at Caroline Springs right now. It's just a shame what sort of happened at East Keilor in recent times. But yeah, that team we had a couple of years ago, we made finals. We beat Strathmore. We beat Pascavale. It was a good team. Ginger Nuts, any idea who the Valley would like to poach from Japan or Europe for this year's Cox Plate? Liv's chimed good in question. And said, good question. Well, it's no real secret. Our number one target this year is Calandigan. He's a very, very highly rated French horse. Whether we get him, look, he's going to be hot property, and he's probably got races like a Breeders' Cup, maybe even a Japan Cup.
Turf.
Yeah, which are high up on the agenda as well. But he's a gelding, so he can't race in the arc, and that makes him prime real estate for international jurisdiction. So he's number one on the target list. It would be great to get Prognosis back again. Look, he hasn't cracked it at Group 1 level, but he's still a horse that we'll take with open arms. There's probably some other Japanese horses up and coming that we're looking at. Carl Spackler is coming, obviously. Been bought by Yulong and Kieran. So while he technically he's not an international because he'll be under Kieran, he basically is an international. So he's another one you can look out for. Goes to the Queen Anne. Nathan Dippy. Did you need a change of jocks when Ka Ying Rising finally confirmed its slot? And what do you make of Bizusto's run on Wednesday? Is he in the Schwartz category where he needs all favours, or is he a forgive and a lightweight chance in the Strati? Ka Ying Rising, we knew he was going to get a slot. It was just a matter of time. So it's exciting. But, I would say it was inevitable. Bizusto, gee, he was disappointing. And it spells doubt in your mind that first up win on the heavy track might have been a little bit of fugazi. So, yeah, he's going to need to improve a lot in the Stradbroke. A wet track would bring him right into play, but, yeah. All right, a couple for Instagram. Shane Burnett, is it fair that fillies can race in the Derby and the Oaks?
I don't know. It doesn't really make sense, does it?
Yeah, but I feel like as younger horses, the colts have some advantage. And usually over the staying trip, they're a little bit stronger. But I don't know. You saw what, I don't know, maybe that's just clutching at straws. We saw what the Waller filly did. What's her name? Eliana?
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
Destroyed them in the Derby. So, yeah. Tom Kennedy, did the weights change? Oh, the back end of Shan's question. Obviously, that colts and geldings can only race in the Derby. Fillies can run in both. It's a fair point. Tom Kennedy, did the weights change for Jimmy the Bear? Seems he's up in the weights now compared to O2 Good. All right, so I made a mistake. I said it was level weights because I saw Tom Preble booked on Jimmy the Bear. It's not level weights because Tom Preble can't claim his 2 kilos. So I apologize for that. Jimmy's got to carry 59. And O2 Good has got to carry 57. So that was my bad. As Bot said, I don't know why they're using a 2 kilo apprentice if they can't even claim. Stu, it's official, 136 days into the Everest. Yep, exciting. Ryan Deeth, Trembles, did Bot copy Nico's tip or did Nick copy Bot's tip? I reckon Nico was on before anyone. So Nico was on first.
I just copy Nick all the time.
Yeah, he's learned not to take me on.
I just copy Nick.
The main thing is all three of us were on the bet and it saved our day. Ben Barton, how do you think the Queensland three-year-old form stacks up against the Melbourne/Sydney three-year-old form? I think it's junk right now. Cool Archie.
Could Observer get into the JJ Atkins?
Nah, probably not enough prize money. No.
He's a horse, that.
Yeah. Four legs, runs around a track. He's definitely a horse.
Yeah, that one. He'd win it.
Yeah, no, I've got queries on the Queensland two-year-old. Sorry, that's a two-year-old. He asked about three-year-olds. What are the three-year-olds? The ones that...
Well, all the fillies are good. Colts, not so much.
Am I getting mixed up? Is Cool Archie 2-year-old or 3-year-old?
He's a two-year-old.
What won the Fred Best?
Spicy Martini.
Yeah. Junk race. I don't know what's in behind them. So, yeah, query for me. Josh Teasdale, F. Flemington, who wins the Quambatook Cup at Swan Hill on Saturday? Have you looked at this spot?
I think I've looked at two of the three Swan Hill meetings, but the one that he's talking about, I haven't looked. What race is it? What, Quambatook? What is it? I can't find it. Say it again.
The Quambatook Cup at Swan Hill on Saturday. Has he got that spelling wrong?
Oh, it's the last race. It's a benchmark 58. Lovely. Over 975 bids. This is my sort of race. Ooh, Adderboom's coming off a nice race last time.
Yuck. Damon Windley.
It's one race from 31 starts.
Only three questions left, punters, before we wrap up. Hang in there. Surely Everest Day one bookies, they put up their balls on the line and give me $2 for carrying Rising the Cowards.
You get like,
yeah, I think, it'll be $1.60, $1.70 on the day. Coops Owen, Bot, would you say that punting has got easier these past few weeks? Bot, you must be fine. And Ben, which mares you booked in for the Hunter Valley? No, none. But
why did you even read that out?
I am booked in to see Animo tomorrow morning. So I am getting to bed. Fellas, good luck this weekend. And hopefully we hit another podcast multi. Who knows? It's 25-1 again. So fingers crossed.
Hopes and prayers, punters.
Cheers, punters. See you back here next week.